Okay, I'm Sam Moyo. I'm the director of the African Institute for Agrarian Studies.
Okay. You talked very briefly about media misrepresentation of the issue of land distribution in Zimbabwe. Can you talk a little bit more about this?
Yeah. The media concentrated very much on the confrontations in the acquisition of land from the large white farmers, and some of the degree of violence and legal transgressions in the process. And for a while they also, which happened at the beginning, in 2001-2, although there have been continued expropriations. And they also focused on some of the elites who got land, and in that sense describe without really any analysis and without any good empirical data what degree of redistribution there was in the ground. We have been researching this from the very beginning, and we were able to demonstrate that there was a very extensive redistribution that took place, in addition to some elite capture. Elite capture is actually on the margin of the redistribution, whether in terms of the area that up to over 160,000 families got, compared to 2,000 or so elites that got slightly bigger pieces of land, some fairly big, but in general well below the type of land concentration that existed before the land reform.
And so in that sense you would say there have been, in some ways it was successful, but you also mentioned that the land reforms have had many contradictions. Can you explain what you meant by that?
Yeah, I mean some of the contradictions include the fact that you have certain sections of the elite that continuously also seeking to gain land. But I must say that it's a very small section. They have not succeeded, but there is a danger insofar as some people want the land to be assigned in private tenure, the redistributed land. But there is a danger that you could have some kind of buying of land by a few people, a reintroduction of concentration. But it's not happening yet. But it's something that we can expect if they move to this private tenure. Although that's not the science, at least in this government. There are also other contradictions in that to realize cash. Higher cash returns. Farmers are continuing and expanded into producing the export crops that continue with cotton, and about 30,000, going up to 50,000 now, of the new farmers and the old small farmers are producing tobacco.
Did you say tobacco?
In addition to maize. So although there's a trend that the most of the farmers produce maize first, they also produce a cash crop, either tobacco or cotton. So there is a danger that this extroverted production system, which capital is more ready to finance than the food production, may gain ascendancy. For the time being, there's still a balance, and I think that is an important contradiction. Third is that much of the finance, financing of agriculture, depended on the state because private capital, banks and so forth, had retreated. Until a couple of years ago, 2-3 years, private capital has returned in the form of subcontracting, which tends to have a higher degree of extraction of surplus from producers, small producers. And the state capacity, since the economy and the revenue has not been as high, it's been very slow to grow. exchange capacity to intervene and support producers is limited, although there was extensive attempts to support it, including through a heavy printing of money, which created inflation and other contradictions.
And so can you tell me what is the reason for the misrepresentation over the past years in the media and internationally? What's the reason for this misrepresentation of what's happening?
The most generic reason is that at the height of neoliberalism, 1997, 1998, into 2000, when most countries are moving in the direction of reinforcing neoliberal policies, whether on land tenure, land concentration, financialization. In Zimbabwe, the struggles, political and social struggles, turned into a confrontation with capital. With a private expropriation of land by the redistribution and interventionist policies of the state instead of allowing the market to dominate, until 2 or 3 years ago. So this is one of the generic reasons that it was one of a few radicalized states, which I think we can see in Venezuela, Bolivia, in different contexts, that was challenging the dominant mode. Secondly, Zimbabwe is part of a systemic kind of a settler colonial, in short space to say, system of capitalist penetration in Africa, in the southern Africa, which is what I was trying to talk about. It has a long history as well. So this upset many circuits and unraveled that mode of capitalist penetration. And not only in Zimbabwe, but it started to threaten similar initiatives in South Africa, Namibia. It has implications even in other countries where you have smaller degrees of land concentration. So it's politically, I think for the West it has not been a good case. And and that involves race issues, kids and kin issues.
How do you see the future of land distribution and agrarian reform in Zimbabwe in the next few years?
I think that it will hold in the next 3 or 5 years, the redistribution structure. There are still a few large farms that were left, a few in some estates. And it's possible that there will be more struggles for different land. Still, there are still some people without land because you can't meet the whole demand. So on the one hand, you will still have, and a few elites who want also to gain access to that land that has not been redistributed, or including threats by neoliberal, possibly the new government, which would want to promote the reconcentration of land, by denying the peasant mode of production.
Thank you.